You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
From Washington to Hollywood and right back to Wisconsin, it's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach. Connecting the dots on the stories shaping our world with smart takes, sharp humor, and plenty of personality.
You know, I really expected more professional behavior from you.
It's news and culture without the noise.
Yeah, I'm on!
Here's Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach.
Welcome to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. Happy Thursday, everybody. Great to have you here. We are live on the Civic Media Network, broadcasting across, much of Wisconsin. I am Pete Schwabe. Joining me from Radio Park in Racine, just down the coast. That does sound exotic, Greg, is Mr. Greg Bach. Hey, buddy.
I live on the coast, man. Yeah. The coast, yeah. Which, L.A., New York? No. Lake Michigan.
Yeah. Chicago, Lake Michigan. Wasn't it Chardet that said coast to coast, L.A., from L.A. to Chicago? It's like, okay.
Yes.
There's a coast there.
I wow, guess. You made a Sade reference. Oh, my Sade. Goodness.
Sade. I always say Sade.
Which is, you know what's funny? Is that Sade, it's not her name. Her name is Helen.
It's a band, right?
It's a band is called Sade. I think her last name is Sade, but she is not Sade.
I didn't know that until I think you said that like last week or something.
Yeah.
And that would be like if I had a band and called it Schwabe.
Schwabe.
People go. Yeah, his real name is Pete, but oh, his last name is Schwabe. It still works.
Helen Folasade Adu. That's her name. Her actual name isn't even Sade. It's just, that's amazing. I love it.
So I wonder what the band name Sade, but it's Sade.
That's a great question. I'm sure I can find it somewhere in a place called Wikipedia. But
the worldwide interwebs.
You got to have a really strong personal, I heard this story, the same story, like with Alice Cooper. Alice Cooper was not the guy. Alice Cooper was the name of the band. And then after a while, he just became Alice Cooper because he had no choice. So I wonder if at any point she was like, it's Helen. Oh, you're Sade. No, my name is Helen. Oh, you're Sade? I'm Sade. You know?
What's Alice Cooper's real name? It's like
Vincent Furnier.
Oh, that's kind of a cool name.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like that name a lot. I think Vincent is a cool first name.
That's a great first name. I mean, if I give you here, I'll give you this is fun. This is an off the cuff game. One round. That's it. Sweet. I'm going to give you one name and tell me who the person is.
Okay.
And nobody on the live stream or the text line help him cheat. All right.
All right.
By the way, you can be part of the conversation. James Newell Osterberg Jr.
Rick Astley.
Iggy Pop.
Oh, okay.
And when he and I've heard stories from people say things like, yeah, when he's on stage, he's Iggy Pop. When he's off stage, he's like, hi, my name is Jim, because he's just a dude from Michigan. It's right. Awesome. I love that.
Iggy Pop is from Michigan.
He's from Michigan. Yep. Yeah.
Get out of town. That's kind of cool.
Yeah. So didn't mean to interrupt that whole thing.
No, listen, what are we doing here? This is what we do here at Nightlight, especially on a Thursday. We've got a lot going on here tonight, folks. We've got Rachel Bernhard. We said Bernhard, right? It's Bernhard.
It's Bernhard, yep.
Rachel Bernhard. She is the dining critic for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. I'm very excited to talk to Rachel because I don't know if you know this, Greg. You probably do because you live on the outskirts of Milwaukee. Pretty damn good restaurant town.
Oh, yeah. Milwaukee. You know, honestly, I have to say, Wisconsin is a great restaurant state. There are great restaurants in this place here. And you know, you can go like, of course, Milwaukee, you'll have super fancy places. You'll have, you know, your Dutch Asian fusion, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But then there's those places that I love the most where you just walk in and it's unassuming. Mm-hmm. And it's got the best burger in the region. And it's just a guy named Stu who's been doing the same recipe for 50 years going, I just make burgers. I don't know why everyone's getting excited, but they're just good. There you go. Right. That'll be $7.50. And it's $7.50. I just
Come
made
on.
That up. I just what made that up. Oh, I just made that part up.
Almost moved to Milwaukee based on that info. So we'll talk to Rachel. That'll be fun. A good conversation. And then in hour number two, ladies and gentlemen, is the third installment. I'll stop saying that eventually, but it is our third installment of the night. Fourth installment.
Fourth installment, yes.
Fourth installment of the Nightlight Movie Club. And tonight's Tonight's film is The Breakfast Club. We're going to do, we're going to drill down on this great John Hughes film that came out in 1985. So if you've seen it, join the conversation. You might have time to catch some of it if you want to pop it in there and watch some of it and refresh your memory. But join the conversation. You can always be part of Nightlight Movie Club and anything we're talking about here on Nightlight at 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. The phone lines never close, at least not while we're on the air. So
eventually we just stop answering.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Dom, where do
you
go? No,
Dom stays there the entire time.
Dom's, he's always here. He's always, like the guy from there. Real Genius. Yeah, he's like the John Grise character.
That's a great movie.
That's a great, there's a Nightlight.
That is a great movie. Oh my movie gosh. Club oh my gosh. I love that movie so much.
I do too. Val Kilmer burst onto the scene.
Val Kilmer.
We've got a lot going on though. We got a great question tonight. We got some business we should get out of the way. There's a Public Service Commission of Wisconsin, an open meeting taking place tomorrow morning at 10:30 a.m. in regard to data centers, Greg.
Yes. So, there is a deal on the table for We Energies to finagle some percentages and some, it's basically so like there is pushback from groups like Walnut Way, Milwaukee, Clean Wisconsin, Sierra Club, Wisconsin Industrial Energy Group, and others. But this is going to be important, especially if you are in the world of data centers. If you are someone who is concerned about this, you can go to the, I believe it's, if you go to the State of Wisconsin's YouTube page, you will watch it. Or we will put that link in our show notes. Go to civicmedia.us/shows, look for Nightlight, and you can click on that. Watch it tomorrow morning, 10:30 a.m. This is probably... next to the election, data centers is probably the biggest topic people are talking about in this state. With everything going on in Port Washington and in, DeForest, it's really becoming a thing in this past year. So if that's something that's important to you, check that meeting out tomorrow morning, 10:30 a.m. live on YouTube.
My personal interest in that is, will the costs for energy be passed on to the consumer? That is the big... I mean, there's other issues certainly with water and the environment, all that. But man, I equate it kind of to when a professional sports team that's privately owned wants public funding to build a stadium. It's like, no, stop it. You know,
no. And that's you're right. That is a huge concern for communities. And some politicians have come forward and said we cannot push this burden onto the taxpayers, onto the community members. And I think they were kind of outed last year by all this nefarious activity of NDAs and going backdoor deals and all this stuff. And just like, really, it's now out in the light. And if you live in an area that has a data center on the docket or one's being built, or just, you know, you live anywhere in Wisconsin, it's all over the country. It's not going away. That's the problem for some people, but we need to be informed. That is the most important thing. So again, you can go to the State of Wisconsin's YouTube page. You can go to civicmedia.us/shows, look at the Nightlight show notes. That link will be there. But please watch. And if you report back, if you watch it, let us know how it went. We'd love to hear from you.
Absolutely. And if you got a pen, youtube.com/@PSCWI.
There you go. So the PSC has their own. Wow, everyone has their own YouTube page. Amazing.
Exactly.
Technology is beautiful.
Most of the time, except when I'm trying to operate my phone. Let's get to our Nightlight question of the night, fellows.
Agreed.
It is National Bucket List Day, folks. So our question tonight at Nightlight is, what's on your bucket list?
Okay.
It's funny. That's a phrase that I didn't hear, I think, until Morgan Freeman said it like 30 years ago on whatever movie that was. But
it's called The Bucket List. It's called Bucket List. I mean, in Shawshank, I was in prison because I didn't execute my bucket list. No, yeah. That's great. It's fine.
Term, so let us know. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. You can also text us on the app or drop us a stream comment if you're watching the radio at YouTube, Facebook, or X Twitter. We would love to know what's on your bucket list. I've got one and it's attainable, Greg. That's all I'll say right now. I'm not shooting for the moon here. That could be on someone's.
Oh, mine is just trying to shoot the moon, like literally just like.
Like an Artemis?
Oh, every single of my neighbors have complained to the cops. It's just, I think it's because I try to do it at like 2 a.m. I was always trying to do it at 2 a.m. So.
Just shooting off your guns and smoking your wacky tobacco. I get it.
And sacking my hack and just, you know.
I don't know what's going on down there in southeast Wisconsin.
It's in the water.
But let us know, folks. Let us know. Be part of the show. As always, you can comment on anything we're talking about. And I hope you guys participate in hour number two because we've got great stuff regarding The Breakfast Club, one of John Hughes's classics. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk about that, too, in hour number two. So there you go. Greg, you want to save your aunt story or you want to tell us what happened? That's a horrifying story you told us off the air.
Yeah, I could tell it really quick. Basically, had woke up this morning to my wife just comes up to me and says, "We have ants." And I said, excuse me? And I went down to the kitchen and we were looking around. We saw some ants crawling around the counter. And I'm like, oh, good Lord. And luckily, they weren't coming from the walls or the floor or anything. Like, they're not inside the building, like, infesting. But I picked up our coffee maker and there was just a pile of them right there. So there must have been, like, just a piece of something got underneath there. And I spent a better part of, like, an hour and a half clearing, cleaning, scrubbing, re-scrubbing, rewashing, sweeping, Swiffering. That's not an ad for Swiffer. And just really just kind of in, I didn't totally clean the kitchen, but I cleaned that area really well. And so it went from a morning that was nice and relaxed. Like, I'm going to do some reading. I'm going to get caught up for the show today. And it was just, and then I got here this morning for something. I'm like, I've done nothing because I'm covered in ants.
I was horrified to hear that, but I have to say there are so many more worse things you could have. Not to downplay your situation, but roaches
mice.
Yeah,
I had mice.
At least with mice, you're going to have like two or three. Like the amount of ants, there were hundreds.
Yeah, that's
and they were all nothing. Like I'm glad it's done. I'm glad we found it. I'm glad it's done. It's good to go. There we are.
That is one of our de facto big three stories, but we've got actual big three stories we should probably get to. Mr. Lee. You found this one, Greg. Yeah, please.
This is coming out of Nature, nature.com. The headline reads, staggering, quote, staggering, unquote, number of people believe unproven claims about vaccine, raw milk, and more. This is a very interesting story I'd love for people to check out in the show notes because a lot of times we look at, vaccines or Tylenol causes this or vaccines cause that or raw milk or whatever. We equate that to a certain group of people or to a smaller percentage of individuals. And what this story is telling us is not only is that number not a small percentage, it's a larger percentage. Like 32% of people believe animal protein is healthier than plant-based protein. Now, whether or not that's true or not, like the fact that here's another one. Fluoride in water is harmful or unhelpful to health. 32% of the people they polled said yes. 32%, not 10%, not 5%, 32%. And these aren't people who are living, I'm going to generalize in this moment. It's not backwoods mobile home people. I come from backwoods mobile home people. These are people who are college educated, who are, they are not the people you think they are. And we can talk more about this on the other side, but it is a mind-blowing article.
It is. It's well, we'll talk more, like you said, after the break. We're going to just pop out just for a second here, folks. Don't go anywhere. This is Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach and Nightlight on the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
We're back. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach. Great to have you here on this Thursday night. It is a Nightlight Movie Club night. We'll be talking about the film The Breakfast Club in hour number two. And we've got Rachel Bernhard coming up at 5:35, Milwaukee restaurant critic for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. She does great work there. And excited to talk to Rachel about food coming up after the news at the bottom of the hour. Right now, we were in the middle of our big three stories, and we were sort of, were we done, Greg, with vaccines? I would love to know what those percentages would be. Basically, before the break, folks, we at nature.com, they said 67% of people have issues with vaccine or doubt them. And my friend who was a nurse said, a buddy of his came up to him and said, what do you think about this? That was the COVID vaccine. He said, I think you should get it. He goes, really? I'm hearing some things.
People are saying
you're getting your information from guys on bar stools. Like, I would love to know what those numbers are before the age of social media.
In that article in Nature, which will once again be in the show notes, it says here, the results, quote, blow the lid off the idea that such beliefs are held by only a fringe population of individuals who are uninformed or ideologically driven. It goes on to say, this is not a small problematic group. And it really is, I mean, and it really comes from the fact that we are just surrounded by information all the time, and there's no qualifications that people have to take to be on social media to talk about this stuff. And
correct,
you're more likely to believe someone that you find interesting, entertaining, funny, attractive than maybe, say, a doctor. Unless that doctor is charming, interesting, funny, attractive. So,
or a president who finds ways to rip on the vaccine, but then gets it himself.
Or the nephew of a former president who just can't really talk about Tylenol in a way that makes sense. But
oh my God.
Yeah, this is very disturbing. We have Jack from Merrimack on the line who wants to talk about this as well. Good evening, Jack. Welcome back to the show. Jack. How are you doing?
Oh, just peachy. Just peachy today. Beautiful day out here.
Oh, yeah. So, glad to hear it.
Anyway,
what's on your mind, Jack?
Yeah. The vaccines and the other idiocies that are coming out of this White House and have for like, since about 2016, that's a decade now, repeated lies. And these are lies that are aimed at a specific purpose, and that is to create fear or hate or anger in anybody that listens to them. And they purpose, according to the historian Hannah Arendt, who studied the Nazis, by the way, extensively, the purpose is not so that everybody believes the lies. It's to get people questioning the statement of anything so that you don't know what to believe, what's true, what's not true anymore. Those people are the ideal subject for authoritarian governments, whether it's communism or Nazis. I mean, that's what this is all about. It's about this authoritarian government trying to confuse everybody, and their statements are intentionally misleading so that people don't trust anything.
Yeah. Sowing chaos. That's a great point, Jack. Thank
so
you
very
much
unfortunate.
For the call.
Thank you very much for calling, Jack. We appreciate you. Yeah, I mean, so I encourage people to go to the show notes and check out this article and stop treating it like, you know, it's your idiot cousin, you know, who lives in your aunt's basement. It's not. It's people who have whole degrees, who have families and jobs there. It's more than just the fringe. So we should probably let's move on to the next story. Good news in this next story.
This is great news, Greg. The Milwaukee Bucks have a new head coach. I will miss Doc Rivers' voice, but we have a new head coach, and his name is Taylor Jenkins.
And he is no stranger to the Bucks either. He actually served under Coach Bud back in the late teens. He was assistant coach with Coach Bud for the 2018-2019 season before taking over in Memphis. So he's got some experience here in Milwaukee. I don't know if he's coached with Giannis, but it's cool to see an old friend back. It's interesting, though, in this Journal Sentinel article that he went to Memphis and he had a couple of rough years, both at the beginning and at the end. But he was fired in what looked to be a winning season so far. It says here that the team rebounded after a bad season, 44-29 mark. He was dismissed 9 games before the regular season was over this season. And he was a 44-29 record, which I don't feel like is bad. I mean,
that's not good.
Yeah. It says here also in the article that he was told that he was had to fire a handful of employees that I guess he didn't want to do. But he is going to be back in Milwaukee in the big chair. And that is going to be interesting to see how he handles it. Coach Bud quoted in this article sparkling reviews of this human being. And so I'm interested to see what happens, because I feel like the Bucks have one or two shots left with Giannis. If he stays, they got to make it count. And
right.
For the little bit I know about basketball, or at least with the Bucks, I felt like Doc Rivers was never the best choice, but what do I know?
I know it's weird. I liked Doc Rivers and I like him kind of as a person, but yeah, I agree with you. And we'll see what happens. The Bucks also fired a coach who had a winning record a couple years ago before they hired Doc. So this will be
Coach Bud.
Griffin.
Adrian Griffin. You're right. Yeah. That was at one point the Bucks were paying three coaches.
Three coaches. All right, let's squeeze in our last story. We only have to say one line and you'll get it, folks. This is also National Talk Like Shakespeareth Day, Gregeth.
See, that's what they do. They add a TH to the end of everything. And you know what? National Talk Like Shakespeare Day, wonderful. I was in a Shakespeare play. It was absolutely wonderful. I had a blast and found out in a Shakespeare class in high school, they didn't talk like that back then. That was for the stage and theater only. But people back in those days did not speak in those terms.
Well, I taketh exception with youeth. We will be right back with more Nightlight. Greg Buck on the
Shutteth,
Network.
Shutteth upeth.
Welcome back. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach. I'm Pete Schwabe. Greg Bach is just down the coast at Radio Park in Racine, and Dom Lee is holding down the fort in Madison. We are the Otter Hay Triangle, and we are thrilled to be with you on this Thursday night. It is a nightclub movie, a Nightlight movie club night, so we'll be talking movies in hour number two, and tonight's movie is The Breakfast Club. So join the conversation. Let's have some fun. And our question of the night is, what is on your bucket list? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can also text us on the app or drop us a stream comment and let us know what you want to do before you die. That sounds so much more dark than just saying bucket list.
Especially when you say it like that.
What do you want to do before you die?
Our first and only guest of the evening writes about dining because she is the dining critic for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. She joins us now over the stream, I assume from Milwaukee, to talk food. It is our pleasure to welcome Rachel Bernhardt. Hi, Rachel. How are you?
I'm wonderful. How about you?
Doing very well. Thank you. It's great to have you here tonight. And we were talking during the break about how I'm in the middle of a fast and Greg is already starving. So let's jump into some food talk. Love your articles. And you obviously are really passionate about writing about restaurants and dining. Tell us, just give us an overview right out of the gate here, if you will, about Milwaukee and what kind of a restaurant town it is. Is it known for its restaurants? I think it's a great restaurant town.
Yeah, I think especially now, since we're talking, it's really our star is really rising in the dining scene across the country and the world. I mean, I think a lot of people maybe outside of Milwaukee might think that we're just, you know, cheese and brats, but we are so much more. We have a very diverse dining scene. We have a lot of great fine dining, and we are about to be on the world stage. So it's a really exciting time.
Wait, we're about to be on the world stage? Like that? That's a tease.
She's leading us into the next question, and I think I know what it is.
Yeah, sorry to take over your show. I'll take it from here. But yeah, so just a few weeks ago, it was announced that for the first time ever, Milwaukee's restaurants will be evaluated by the Michelin Guide.
Oh.
So yeah, it's if you don't know, if your listeners don't realize, the Michelin Guide is one of the top, if not the top guide for evaluating and rating the world's best restaurants. So Milwaukee's never had its own guide before. It still doesn't have its own. We are a part of an American Great Lakes guide that is going to launch next year.
Excellent. And so, okay. So when in consideration for a Michelin, because you can, if I'm not mistaken, you can have up to three Michelin stars at one restaurant. What is the consideration? What goes into from like, is it a matter of like restaurant X in Milwaukee says, we want to do this, or are they chosen to be evaluated? What is the process if they want to be part of this?
So Michelin is very secretive about their process. I have asked people at Michelin to divulge a few of their secrets, and I'm getting nothing back. But I can tell you what I know. I can tell you that Michelin's inspectors have already been out in Milwaukee evaluating our restaurants. They have been for months, even years. Wow. The reason we were chosen is because inspectors have been out in the field for so long and kind of deemed Milwaukee ready to be evaluated in the guide. So that's a pat on our back in itself. But aside from that, they have their own criteria. These restaurants need to reflect the city and the culture where they come from. I think we have so many restaurants in Milwaukee that do that very, very well and represent the Midwest very well. Surprisingly, they say service is not a part of it. They do not evaluate service. They do not evaluate the wine list. They don't evaluate decor or the design. It's just about the food. This is what they say. We'll see.
Well, I'll go on, Pete. Go on.
No, if you have a follow-up.
Well, because this thing is like, I feel like when we think Michelin star restaurants, we think fancy. We think, a lot of people probably think the Bear. They think expensive. They think hoity-toity. But there are a lot of Michelin restaurants around the world that are just, they serve such amazing food, whether it's like a beautiful taco or a burger, that they come in and they say, no, you win this star because you are doing exactly what we want to see. And so I feel like if there's any city in the country that can break the stereotype of what people see as Michelin, it's Milwaukee, because it has a great deal of class in their dining, but it also still retains that Midwestern feel of like laid back, fun, we're having a good time, but you're going to eat real well and you are going to enjoy it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that goes from, you know, some of our fine dining restaurants all the way down to, you know, our more everyday establishments too, you know, like a restaurant like Sanford, you know, I throw that out there as a potential restaurant that could get a star. It has wonderful elevated food, but it's still really Midwestern. It really shows off Midwest ingredients and it doesn't take itself too seriously. So I feel like a place like that could get a star. But also, I love to throw a dark horse out there. What if a place like Cops could get a star or a Bib Gourmand or something, you know, like showing off our custard that is such a part of our fabric of the dining scene here. It's been really fun to kind of think about which restaurants Michelin could recognize here.
Yeah.
Our guest is Rachel Bernhard. She is the dining critic for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. She does great work there. Check out her articles. Speaking of your articles, Rachel, I read this one. I just love your article about the Refugee Chef's Dinner Series. Can you tell us more about that?
Sure. This is the Tables Across Borders Dinner Series. This has been going on since about 2019. And it's held at both Amalinda, a restaurant downtown, and Trickle Bee Cafe near the Milwaukee's west side. This series puts chefs, refugee chefs, brings them into these restaurants, and anyone can buy a ticket to these events, and the chefs share about their culture, their background, their stories, and the type of cuisine from their home countries and their homelands. So you really get this really special experience to meet the chef, hear their stories, and taste a kind of food that you may have never had and may not be represented anywhere else in Milwaukee. And 100% of the proceeds do go to the refugee chefs and their families.
Hey, I think that kind of goes back to the point I was making before of that, like, you know, Milwaukee has that attitude and that belief of like, not only just of its food, it's of its community as well. And that's fantastic. So going back sort of to the Michelin thing, as far as like, you know, people come in and they, you know, they'll taste the food and they critique the food and then they make their decision. That's kind of what you do as well. You go in and you're going to go to a place. I'm going to try this place. Are people aware of you and whether or not you're going to be there? Do you sneak in kind of like, I'm going to put a hat on, I'm going to eat the food and I'll do my article? Or is it like this thing of, oh, there's Rachel, she's here? Or do people sometimes freak out because they see you there and they want to, you know, make sure it's all the best presentation, the food is great? Like, what is it like for you when you go into a restaurant?
Yeah, well, if people have clocked me at their restaurant, I haven't noticed it. I certainly haven't seen anyone freak out. I don't know if they do that behind the scenes, but, you know, modern dining critics now, it's really difficult to be completely anonymous anymore. Mm. You know, we have dining critics at the New York Times and the Washington Post and, you know, these big outlets that are no longer anonymous. I mean, if you Google my name, my picture is going to show up. So, I'm not wearing any disguises. I am going in under fake names for reservations, though, and trying to be as low-key as possible. You know, part of my job is that I don't want any special treatment. I want to dine just like any of you would, any other diner. I think that's the most fair way to evaluate a restaurant. And I'm sure some people have, you know, I've caught here and there, maybe a little whisper, but I figure by the time I get to the restaurant, there's not a whole lot they can do to change the way right. they make the food at that point.
Wash your hands.
Cook the burger all the way through this time.
Right.
Where can I get great Mediterranean food?
I thought you were like, where can I get a Michelin star?
That too, sure.
Well, we'll have to wait for that one. But yeah. Great Mediterranean food. You know, interestingly, there is a brand new restaurant that opened up called Aya in downtown Milwaukee just a couple of months ago. It's by the owners of Saffron, an Indian restaurant in the Third Ward. And I have had a few bites at their restaurant, and it's fabulous. Their food is really fresh. The chef is super creative. The space is gorgeous. So I would recommend that if you're looking for somewhere new.
Yeah.
Great. Well, love it.
I will always do that. You know, Milwaukee, you mentioned it earlier. Milwaukee is, you know, we're Wisconsin, we're Midwest. We have a certain aesthetic. We have a certain way of talking. We, you know, whatever. And more so like the way people assume we are in our lives and, you know, beer and cheese and that kind of stuff. But when you have conversations with folks about restaurant scenes and you say, oh, Milwaukee is great, I'm sure sometimes you may get like a really? What is your response to people who say things like that? Like, do you go into mode, like you're like, you go into like defense mode of like, oh, well, I got a list here. You're going to like, what are those conversations where you kind of almost have to convince people or at least say, no, we're not what you think. It's a lot better than that. And let me tell you about that. Like, those conversations happen at all?
All the time. All the time. You know, I was just, you know, I grew up in Ohio and I was just back home recently and talking to family and friends about what I do here in Milwaukee. And they can't believe I'm so busy. And I have so many restaurants to go to, and I have to remind them Milwaukee and its surrounding suburbs they have excellent food and really diverse food. And they're, you know, we hear the stories about our favorite restaurants closing all the time, but there are a lot that are opening now too.
Yeah.
So, you know, I just, when people ask me for recommendations or, you know, where should I start in Milwaukee? I say, pick a neighborhood. That's where you go, because we're a city of neighborhoods, and each neighborhood has such a different dining personality, I think. So I say, tell me neighborhood first, and then I'll point in the direction of like five great restaurants you have to try.
Great system. We've got about a minute before we have to do a break. I'm just going to put this out there. Family of four. Where can they get a nice hot meal at a fair price? And I mean that like price wise, because you can go to a McDonald's and spend $20. And when you go out to eat for two people, it's easily $100. Is there a really moderately priced restaurant that comes to mind?
It is harder these days because we do know, you know, ingredients are going up, you know, labor costs are going up. So those are more hard to come by, but there are still a few favorites out there. I mean, like, that we have some great diners that I love. I mean, I'll tell you today, I went to a place I couldn't believe. I went to Night Owl Burger on Layton Avenue. I couldn't believe I had the biggest burger of my life for $10.
Nice.
That certainly isn't going to break the bank.
That's a great answer. That's outstanding. All right, let's pick up there when we come back. We're going to do a very short break. Our guest is Rachel Bernhard. She is the dining critic for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and we will have more food talk with Rachel coming up next. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach on the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back. This is a Thursday night edition of Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach. Dom Lee is working the board, producing the show in Madison. Our guest right now is Rachel Bernhard. She is the dining critic for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. We're talking about all things food in Milwaukee. This is a really fun conversation. I will say you had a great article too recently, Rachel, about going back home to Ohio, as you mentioned, and talking about family dinners. And I remember growing up, you know, we used to go out. I grew up in Chicago when I was young. We'd go out to the suburbs and have dinner at my grandma's. We'd have our own family dinners. And we still did that with my own family, but less and less. Can you talk about the importance of just the social aspect of eating and dining together and how important that is?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't know about you all, but I feel that a lot of us don't stop and sit and really look at each other and talk unless we're across the table from one another.
Yeah.
Those are the moments that we really get to slow down. We get to talk about, you know, choose what we want to eat, kind of make our game plan with each other at the table, which I think is another fun ritual to do too. But, you know, just sitting there, sharing food, sharing a meal, talking about our days. I think that's, you know, a really important part of the dining process too. I mean, when I haven't seen a friend in a while, the first thing naturally for me, but I think most people, is let's go to dinner, you know?
Yeah. I mean, there's something to be said, you know, like if you say, let's go to dinner, that I have, you know, we're going to go to dinner. We're going to go to a place. If you say to me, come over for Sunday supper, I know that I'm being invited to something that is important. And yeah, it's again, that notion of community, whether it's a small family or it's a neighborhood thing, but yeah, that's very, very important. You were wonderful enough to come on a morning show program I did a couple months ago and talk about this, but I wanted to get your thoughts. Now we're in spring and we're into 2026 a little further. What are you seeing in Milwaukee that's popping up, opening, that whether it's a restaurant or it's a style that you're seeing that you want people to know about?
Yeah. So styles, you know, I think when we talked last, I talked about the, you know, the influx or the boom we've been having with Southeast Asian food. Mm-hmm. Yes. We've been having some great Korean restaurants. We have this excellent Filipino pop-up that's now at this great cocktail bar called Agency. Their name is Cinta, and they do a lot of awesome Filipino food that you can't find anywhere else in the city that I love. Mm. But, you know, since then, you know, we've heard about a lot of restaurants closing, but it's been kind of an amazing year for new restaurants in Milwaukee as well. At the beginning of the year, we had Cassis, this new French restaurant from the owners of Birch in downtown Milwaukee. You know, it's super popular, mm-hmm. really well-regarded restaurant downtown. And Cassis is this shiny little thing in the Third Ward right along the river. It's really fun. It's very inventive. It feels like you're going on a night out there. But it also is really like homey and comforting too. So that's a really big opening we've had. I mentioned Aya, the new Mediterranean restaurant before. Yeah. That place is really something special too. And a new one we've had, I mean, I think right now we're going through a sushi boom as well. We've had quite a few sushi restaurants opening. And the highest profile one so far this year is called Nakama, and it is an omakase restaurant. So, you know, we had 1033 Omakase, which is a James Beard finalist this year. That was our first omakase restaurant. And now we have our second one opening, you know, kitty corner from Birch on the Lower East Side too. And that restaurant just opened, I think last week, 2 weeks ago. I haven't had a chance to try it yet, but I've been in this space and it looks pretty spectacular.
That's great. I'm trying to write all these down as you're saying them. I agree with you, Rachel, about community. But let's be honest. Sometimes you just want to be alone with your food and not be judged.
Oh, boy.
And you want to scarf it down. Man, that's... Just saying. I know you like movies as well. I was reading your bio. Have you ever seen the movie Big Night?
Yes, yes. That is a fantastic, I mean, one of the best food movies we have.
Yes. All right, good. That's a great one. Maybe a potential Nightlight Movie Club, Stanley Tucci and our Wisconsin's own Tony Shalhoub. Have you seen The Breakfast Club?
Oh, yes. Okay. That's a classic.
All right. She could have been on second hour too.
I mean, there you go. I just want, while we're talking about that, Ardith on the live stream says, I love the movie, The 100-Foot Journey, which is about trying to gain a Michelin star. We have a couple minutes left really quick. If with Michelin coming to Milwaukee, does that open up the doors for other cities in Wisconsin, like Madison or Green Bay? Like once they come here, will they say, well, let's look at other places here in the state?
I sure hope so, because outside of Milwaukee, Wisconsin is a really, really great food state. Madison is a wonderful food city. And there are also two James Beard finalists up in Door County. Like, you can't sleep on Door County. In a couple weeks, I'm going to be there eating at a new restaurant that the chefs opened, that they had three Michelin stars in California.
Wow.
Last year, they moved to Door County. So it's like, don't sleep on the rest of the state too. I really hope they can get their feelers out and kind of explore a little bit more.
That's might ask you off the air where that is, because I was just at the Door County Film Festival a couple months ago, and I think that those people came up and they're doing kind of a cool thing there. So I would like to, because we're going there shortly too. I would love to get the name of that place. But
sure.
Rachel, this is so much fun. Thank you.
Please
it's
come
fun
back.
To talk
Please
food.
Come back.
Yeah, we need a resident food critic. We've got a resident dentist for the show, which is very important for any radio show.
Which is now very hard to do on the air, by the way. He does not look at teeth well when you're like in the camera.
But he's a magician. And so we'd love to have you back sometime too and continue our conversations about great food in Milwaukee. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me. I'd love to come back.
Yeah. You're welcome. All right. Check out Rachel's work in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, folks. Great articles. And not just about food too. I know she talks movies and all kinds of fun stuff. So give her a follow on social media and check out her work at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. We have got our question of the night is, what's on your bucket list, folks? It is National Bucket List Day. And when we come back in the second hour, we're going to read some of your texts about the bucket list, and we're going to talk about our movie tonight, The Breakfast Club, for Nightlight Movie Club. Lots to come. Glad you're here. It's Nightlight with Peach Wahaba and Greg Bach on the Civic Media Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.